Second down and 9. Odunze will pick up a Bears first down. Takes it all the way to
the ball's out. Look like the ball came out.
Ball came loose. Lions have recovered. Second Chicago turnover.
Courtesy of Fox Sports. A couple of fumbles there from Odunze. And this is Hampton OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Bears fall to the Detroit Lions 34-17 at Soldier Field. Andy Mazur alongside the fellas here. We'll take your phone calls at 312-981-7200. Well, if you have to look for something positive, the Bears actually scored 2 touchdowns in the first half of a game. We're reaching, but that's about it.
Well, that's the first time in the last month, and so that was a good thing. But you know what, OB? You know, if folks listen to the show and they hear that Chevy commercial, that games are won and lost by the hardworking Grabowskis at the line of scrimmage. So my son and I were at the game. We were watching this, and folks, I got to tell you, you know, Dan Campbell's a good coach, and Jared Goff is a good player and all that. But the offense and defensive line of the Detroit Lions put on a clinic today. They were masterful. They rolled up almost 500 yards of offense, and their defensive line battered Caleb Williams the entire contest. So, you know, at some point you got to say, okay, we did some good things. We actually scored in the first half. But we were down 20-0, OB, before we even score a point.
Well, Danny, you know, I again, like, what is their positive to come of this? I thought that they had a chance to win this game, and the reason why I did is because of how all the injuries the Detroit Lions have suffered. I mean, correct me here if I'm wrong, somewhere along the line, Lance, Dan, like about 14 starters and backups out on the defensive side for the Detroit Lions. So if I ever thought there was a game because they're playing backups, and some in cases backups, Detroit Lions were playing, folks, in case you didn't know. And I thought if any time we were going to have a chance to take advantage and put a W on the board, it would have been this, even though we played a team that's only lost 2 games, and it's the Lions. But I still thought that we had this chance to do it. And that never materialized. The game was over with, what was it, 20-0?
Yeah.
20-0 going into the second quarter.
20-0. You know, that game, set, match, it's over with. This team, I tell you, I sometimes don't know where to go with it. They do so many dumb, stupid things, I have no idea. Just as a matter of fact, I'm looking at here, what quarter was it? I think it was the start of the third quarter. It was 4th and 7. They were on the 12-yard line going in.
Yeah, it was about 6 minutes to go.
Yeah, about 6 minutes to go. No, yeah, in the third quarter, mm-hmm. And we settled a kick, a field goal.
Yeah.
Okay, we're 4 wins and 10 losses, and you do what? You settle a kick, a field goal? Danny, there has to be a house cleaning. There has to be, Danny.
Yes, there will be.
You cannot have not one coach retained. I don't care who it is. You cannot retain one coach from this staff.
Well, the word incompetence comes to mind. And you know what? You know, okay, they got rid of Eberflus. But again, game management situations, we continue to botch that. Obviously, Thomas Brown, who there was a little bit of a spark early on when he was promoted to the offensive coordinator position after Shane Waldron was summarily fired, you thought, okay, maybe we can find something, a little spark here and there. But today, your point about this maybe being the opportunity for us to turn things around against the decimated defense.
Yes, it was.
And yet, we give them a 20-0 lead before we actually start doing anything on offense. And by the way, Odunze, he's going to be a great player. We like the kid. But the first fumble where he was on that speed sweep, I was on the sidelines. I was 30 yards away. And you can put that on the quarterback. He hit him in the hip with the ball, not putting it into his stomach. And when that guy's coming around the corner, folks, that, you know, he's not looking at the ball. He's looking at who is the force man. He's looking at where he needs to make a cut. And the quarterback failed him and failed the team by not getting a clean handoff in that situation. But that led to a field goal. And then later on, when Odunze was stripped of the ball and some violent hitting by the backup defensive players of the Detroit Lions, they went on in and scored a touchdown. Those were the two backbreaking plays.
You know, Danny, and if we couldn't put a ton of points up today against the Lions, folks, and again, I can't say it enough, how decimated that Lions defense is. I mean, they're playing guys that holy cow, who knows where they came from. And I just can't imagine that we didn't take advantage of it, Danny. Before you know it, what we're losing again, like you mentioned, 20-0. 20-0 out of nowhere. And again, what do we do in our opening series? Do you think we advance the ball? Do you think we convert on third down? Our opening series again, what do? Punt. So in 15 games, folks, 15 games, here's what's happened on the first set of downs. We've kicked two field goals. We kicked one missed field goal. And we punted 11 times. 11 punts in our first series. And then you go back to the second series, to the third series, to the fourth series. Then you go to halftime, and how many times were we shut out? We can't even score a damn point. It just happens to be the truth. 24-0, 13-0. It's one thing after another. And no changes were made. Today, it was in the fourth quarter, is the first time Dan always talks about the slant, which is a huge offensive play that every team has in their arsenal. They do. We threw the first slant in the fourth quarter today. Now, we've got some talented receivers. Why aren't they being used on a slant, which is it's a crushing play? It truly is. Sometimes it can be a dangerous play, but it's a crushing great play. Folks, there's so many questions that you have, and to look for answers, where do you go to look for answers? Apparently not the Bears coaching staff, because we do basically the same thing from week to week to week, okay? We cannot throw the football. We cannot run the football. We cannot score points. We cannot convert on third down. That's why we're 4-11 and going nowhere.
Just to illustrate that point, how many times we had to punt. We come out 3 and out, we had to punt. We did not force the Detroit Lions to punt the football until there were 5 minutes and 40 seconds left in the game, Andy.
Yeah, that's unfortunate at this point. Let's take a glance now at our Mueller Auto Group game-changing moment. We just alluded to it. Sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships in Hoffman Estates, Gurnee, Highland Park, and Merrillville. It was that botched exchange because, as you said, you were at the game and you kind of just felt everything just kind of the air gets let out of things.
Well, the whole crowd went you know, silent, and yet the 20-plus thousand Detroit, I never seen anything like it, folks. There was well over 20,000 Detroit Lion, you know, Barry Sanders wearing mob up in the stands, and they cheered like nobody's business. And I got to tell you, yeah, that was a crushing play. Unfortunately, it was by our two first-round pick rookies that we expect to be difference makers. Unfortunately, that was a bad way to make a difference.
Yeah, and it was you have a hard time finding the good in all of this, but, I mean, when you look at Caleb's numbers, okay. I mean, you have to say that you know, it's better than maybe what should have been expected. But the thing is that bothered me the most, and we keep talking about the backups, it just shows you how much more evolved Dan Campbell is as a head coach as to anything that we have on our sideline.
He came in here, and again, his team was decimated with injury. And just make no mistake about that, folks. All right, he came into our town, our stadium, where we play, Soldier Field. He came in and took us apart. That's what happened out there. Better coaches, better players, better team, better well-prepared, to go out for four quarters, put points on the board, and stop the opponents. That's exactly what the hell happened out there today. And Last week, the week before, the week before, the week before, the week before. You can go on and on with this team.
Well, to illustrate it, he is so smart. He attacked on offense and basically protected his defense by getting a lead, and he was able to do it, and we didn't do anything to stop him.
By the way,
the
game that we cut away from to bring you Hampton OB here just went final. In case you're wondering, Washington got a late touchdown and defeated Philadelphia 36-33. Jalen Hurts was concussed in that game and left early and did not come back. But Washington, behind Jaden Daniels, with a 36-33 win. So now the Eagles are 12-3. The Lions move to 13-2.
And congratulations. That's the most in their history.
Right.
So, folks, here's the thing. The imperative part about this whole scenario is we better find the right coach. You think Detroit's going somewhere? You think Green Bay's going? You think Minnesota's going to go somewhere? No. We've got to get in the game.
Basically, the three best coaches. You can put them 1, 2, or 3.
Amen.
Any way you want to go with it, whoever you want between those three coaches. They're all in our division. They're all in our division.
Yeah, and the Vikings have taken a 7-0 lead on Seattle, so Minnesota now trying to keep pace with the Lions for the best record in the NFC and also the best record in the NFC North. And again, they're leading 7-0 late in the first quarter in Seattle.
If we're going to take back the North, we're going to need some F-15s.
You know what? Just like to say this again. Dan Campbell, folks, the head coach of the Detroit Lions. This guy, he beat us. We're at home, and I mean, there was everything to play for this team. I'm talking about our team. If you're half a man, you had everything to play for. Stop the bad play, stop all the stupid penalties, etc. You had a chance, and you had a chance to beat the team with basically the best record in the league. You had a chance. You were at home in front of your own fans. And what did you do? You failed, and you failed quarter after quarter after quarter. You failed miserably. That's exactly what the hell happened out there today. You failed miserably. The coaches didn't live up, and the players didn't live up. I don't care any way you want to cut it.
34-17, the final. Lions over the Bears. We'll take a timeout. We're going to get to the news right after that, and then we'll get to your phone calls. I promise, if you're there on hold, please stay there. We will get to you. 312-981-7200.
Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois.
Hot route! Hot route!
Who brought it today? Looking at which Bear played tough, played hard.
And who brought it today? Sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, the card to bring through it all. Caleb Williams, 26 of 40, 334 yards, a couple of touchdowns, a passer rating of 107.7. And that, of course, is 45-yard touchdown strike to Keenan Allen. And he looked all right today.
No, and you know what? I know OB has still got reservations, but there's no doubt in my mind that Caleb Williams can be the guy, the type of quarterback that we can win with. And I'm just saying, we just went over before we came to a break. We were talking about the division that we're in. Detroit, Green Bay, Minnesota. I'll guarantee you, every one of those three teams, if they could switch the quarterbacks with us right now, today, OB, every one of those coaches would make the trade. They would make the trade. So what I'm trying to say is,
as you see it.
No, I'm just telling you. I know.
How do you know?
Well, I'm just telling you. They know the upside of Caleb Williams and what he would be able to bring to the table.
Well, so far, he's had 4 victories against teams that haven't won a game. We haven't beaten a team that won a game, Dan.
No kidding. But okay. Look at the coaches he's
and
got.
Guess what we got? This is the 11th loss. And you're telling me that this guy is going to walk the other 52 guys? He's going to walk them through the gates of heaven of winning?
And it won't happen this year, obviously, but I'm just saying, the kid's just getting started.
Well, that's your opinion,
yep.
And I don't agree with it. And I'll tell you what, you are what your record says you are. 4 wins and 11 losses, and we beat a team today that had, folks, their defense, if you ever were going to win a football game, today would have been the day, okay?
Did he give up 20 points to go down 20 to nothing?
No, but he didn't score enough points to win the game.
Well, there's no question
How's
about that.
How's that for an answer?
Yeah, but you had fumbles, drops,
Who won the football game? Who won the game, Dan?
We know that the Lions
won the game.
Right.
We lost for the 11th time and only won 4.
And I'm not saying the kid is removed from all blame. I'm just telling you, projecting him a year, 5 years from now, every one of the teams in our division would trade for him tonight. They would. Now, let's move on.
Dan,
I'm just telling you, that's
excuse me.
Those are facts.
Sure. The kid, the quarterback from Detroit, our guy
yep.
is smarter than him, is more of an accurate passer, a stronger passer, a smarter quarterback. Is that what you're saying?
Let me just say this. The quarterback is the byproduct of all of the consummation of offense, defense, special teams, coaching, all of that. And let's just talk about Jared Goff. He was in Los Angeles. And guess what? Sean McVay couldn't wait to unload him. And it happened on a beach in Mexico. There was a conversation between him and some folks in Detroit, and he said something like, he had just lost the Super Bowl
mm-hmm.
because Jared Goff had a bunch of limitations. And he said, if I had Stafford, and they said, well, let's do it. Throw in a couple of number ones or whatever it was, and he made that trade. And guess what? 2 years later, he won a Super Bowl. I'm just saying, if these three coaches in our division, you told them tonight, you can make the trade straight up, every one of them would do it because of what we have seen, not every play, not down after down, not idiotic plays and ridiculous play calling, but they have seen enough from this kid to say, you know what? We can make this kid into the next Patrick Mahomes.
So it's everybody's fault.
Everybody.
But his.
No, he's part of it.
No, that's what you're saying. That's what you just said. So it's everybody's fault but him. It's the coaches. It's the other players. It's the receivers. It's everybody's fault but his. That's how I read what you just said.
I'm just saying if I could take one player from this team and start again, he would be the guy.
We're going to score that round even. The scorecards of the three judges in the other room.
And you know where you'd be with them? Just exactly where they are right now.
I want
Four wins, never beat a team with a winning record, and lost 11 games, and you got your backside handed to you today.
Jack,
that's where you'd be, Dan.
Jack, mark this tape. We're going to listen to it a year from now, and we'll see who has the last laugh. Once we get a coaching staff in here.
Oh, now we got to get a coaching staff? And we got to get better players, too, don't we?
By the way.
Excuse me.
By the way, I'm not a fan of Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions, as the possible head coach. He'd be down 3, 4, 5 on my list. But I'm telling you, you have to be impressed with what he did today. And again, it was a byproduct of the fact they know their defense has been gutted with injuries. How do you protect them? Yeah, you get a lead. You keep the foot on the gas, and you attack people. The guy was more than capable of making those kind of play calls today.
I agree with you on that. They put their foot right on the metal and slammed it to
the floor. All right, let's get to the phones.
All right, Happen will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Let's start in Elk Grove and say hi to Ken. Ken, you're up with Happen OB. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. Uncle Dan, Uncle OB, that's the passion we need next year going into training camp. Camp, load up the Chevy with all the fellow alumni players. Go up there, give them an earful, tell them what it's like to put a uniform on and the pride and joy of wearing it and knocking somebody on their keister. The best thing that could happen to the Bears this year, the day after the season, we get a snowstorm, and all those prima donnas get stuck at the airport, and they have to stay there overnight. Poor baby, don't make enough. Knock somebody down. Get a coach in here that's not afraid to say, you're a bum. Get out of here.
Okay, amen.
He had that. And McCaskey didn't like it. Go, Ditka. Get somebody in here named Hampton, Singletary, Fenton. Get up to Hallis Hall and tell them what it's like to play football. Besides that, have a good holiday.
Thank you, Ken.
Well, a few aggravated people.
Well, I got to tell you, I love his call in the sense that, you know, it should mean something to play for the Chicago Bears. And we've got about 50 out of the 53 that look like they're collecting a paycheck. And go back and look at the film. Look at the tape. The eye in the sky don't lie.
Truth in that. 312-981-7200. Let's sneak one more in before we get to the next break. Go ahead,
Hobie. I just want to say real quickly here, their average pass, Dan, today, I'm talking about the Lions, the average pass, 10 yards. 10 yards. That's unbelievable.
And they threw it 32 times, and they ran the ball 31 times or something. I mean, it was brilliantly conceived offense that was executed to perfection, the kind of offense we need to see Caleb Williams in.
Oh, excuse me.
And they'd all trade for him tonight. I'm telling you, they would trade for him tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Hampton. Thank you, thank you.
34-17, the final, the Lions.
Gotcha on that one.
Over the Bears. Mark that tape, too, huh? Let's go out to Scottsdale and say hi to Zach. Zach, you are up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Love the passion you guys have. It's way more than these players that we have on the Bears. My thought process on this is, how does ownership justify keeping Ryan Poles? He needs to go. Since the "we're going to take the North back" comment, we're 2-15 against the NFC North. He's got two of the longest losing streaks in the history of the Bears. I don't think we've won a Sunday road game since Poles started. Every coach that we've had under Poles has been terrible. This season, I think we're averaging like 7 points in the first half. So all of these games are over at halftime. Our big money players like Montez Sweat, you know, he doesn't show up. He doesn't break a sweat. He doesn't perform like top defensive ends like a Myles Garrett. How does ownership justify keeping this clown? What's the answer to turn this around? Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Zach.
Well, I'll tell you what, you were bingo on everything, buddy. Ken, I agree with everything you said.
Well, and at the root of all of these last two callers is the fact that we do not see the passion and the players being held accountable. Think about that, folks. I was there with my son, and we're looking up in the stands, and it was the Honolulu Blue. It wasn't Bear fan. I mean, it was 20,000-25,000 Detroit Lion fans. Now, the point being is, why is that happening? Because the team has basically played itself into a position where the best fans in America are apathetic. We need a coach like a Dan Campbell that will regenerate the passion of what it means to be a Chicago Bear, and I'm talking Mike Vrabel.
Dan, you know something? I couldn't agree with you more. Couldn't agree with you more on that. And I'm going to tell you something. It's enough with these coaches that we get that want to be the player's best friend. I don't want a coach like that. I want a coach that's going to hold their feet to the fire, hold them accountable, and will not let goofy, stupid stuff happen in practice, let alone ever happen on a field. You've got to get somebody in here that knows what he's talking about and that has proven that he's a taskmaster, that he'll hold their feet to the fire. And I can't agree with Dan Moore. Vrabel, he is the guy, as far as I'm concerned, Danny.
I pray to the good Lord that they make the right decision and get him.
Yeah, enough Mr. Rogers. We need somebody to crack the whip.
I don't want a coach that wants to be the 53 players. I don't want him to be their best friend.
Yep.
I don't want a coach like that.
Just like we heard in the open today, you know, General Patton. America loves a winner. They won't tolerate a loser. The Bear fans are sick of tolerating losing.
There's been a lot of it lately, unfortunately.
That's what I've been saying, Hampton.
312-981-7200. We'll continue with more in just a moment. Hampton will be a sponsor by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Hammett will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealer. Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears, courtesy of Fox Sports. One of those big chunk plays against the Bears defense. Let's talk a little bit about their offensive line. How well do the Bears protect the pocket? It's sponsored by the Protect and Grow Retirement Plan by TJ Stearns. Always protecting your pocket. Call them at 800-640-2256. Williams was sacked twice today. But and there was, again, injuries.
He was flustered and banged around the entire day. And again, it manifests itself with him, you know, when he finally does get a semi-clean pocket, he's overthrowing people. He's, you know, jacked up and got the clock going in his head. But Braxton Jones looks like, you said, he broke his ankle.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Now, and I know this sounds bizarrely crazy, but Braxton Jones missed two games. We don't score a touchdown. He's back out there today, and we score a couple in the first half. I'm just saying, as bad as you might think he is, he's the best of the rest, and we will miss him. And then Tevin Jenkins, who does not need to be re-signed.
No.
You can't count on him. He left the game again, and Jake Curran had to come in, had a couple of motion penalties late in the game when we couldn't afford to get behind the sticks. Boom.
You know, there you go. A little quick question here. The offensive lineman, this guy Doug Kramer, who's come in the game twice but as a fullback.
Yeah.
How in God's name, he's on the inactive. How did he get hurt?
And it was late, too. It was they announced it yesterday. I have no idea. I have no idea.
Did he fall off a bar stool?
He may have. They only had walkthroughs. That's all they had during the week. Yeah, so
it's an absolute joke.
Let's get back out of the calls. 312-981-7200. Let's go to Mount Prospect and say hi to Brian. Brian, you're up with Ampob. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks, Ampob. It's always an honor to talk to you. First, I'd like to congratulate Jared Everett on his eighth catch this season. What a year. I think we've got him next year, too, so that's something to be hopeful of. Second of all, a couple of my points are already brought up, so I'm just going to ask you guys, would you keep Keenan Allen if he was willing to sign on a team-friendly deal? I think you already put it out there that he would only like to either go back to the Chargers or stay with the Bears.
What do you do with Keenan Allen?
Guys, I've called him the grifter. He actually showed up in the fourth quarter on a drive where he caught three in a row or something like that, which, I hate to say it, you're paying a guy $20 million, and he's supposed to be, you know, a Hall of Famer. We needed that early in the season, in the middle of the season. We needed that instead of drops. And today he made some special catches. That was pretty good. But, no, he will not be a part of this team next year.
Well, there you go, Dan. What I would do, Brian, what I would do is I would put this kid up, put him out, and see who answers the call that would like to have him on their team. You've got to get rid of him. You cannot bring him back next year. We don't need him. We don't need him. I think there is a big problem in that locker room. I don't know for sure, but I got an idea that he's one of the problems in that locker room.
You're right. And here's the other part. He's really a redundancy at that position. You know, he's more of a possession guy. That's really what Roman Dunsey is and will be. We need a speed guy.
If
we need a Mooney.
Him.
Yeah, we need a Mooney guy to take the top off, and we ain't got it.
And he's taking catches away from Cole Kmet, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and DJ. Yeah.
And they got to stop using Adoozie and Moore as running backs. That's got to end. It's got to stop.
Yeah.
I mean, there's two games left. You're putting those guys' careers at risk. They're not running backs, and they're not paid to be running backs.
All right, let's go out to the northwest side of the city and say hi to Patrick. Patrick, you're up and happen to be. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I'm sitting here watching this game, and I'm getting sick because I'm doing the math. I've spent over $20,000 in the last 10 years on Bear tickets. Going back, I'm probably closer to $38,000. They've been in my family since 54. We got 63 championship and 86. I'm done with these guys. If Poles comes back, McCaskey could take his tickets and put him where the sun don't shine. Poles, let's see, what has he done? He brought in Claypool, a cancer. Then he brought in Nate Davis, another cancer. He finally let them go. He drafted Dulles Jones, a bum, and he reworked on him and worked on him and worked on him. He said, Roquan, we don't need you. You can go. We don't need Roquan Marshall. And then he said, Montgomery, we don't need you. We got
We got a receivers we can play as running back. The guy should be allowed within 20 feet of a draft room. He needs to go. He sits there staring and looking, trying to look cool. He is garbage. He has done nothing for the Bears. I wish, and you know, when you talk about cancers in the locker room, I wish Eberflus would write a tell-all book. Because I'll bet any money he's going to tell us some stories about 29. Stevenson, that kid needs to go. He doesn't get it. He trips the guy in the sideline. In the Minnesota game, he's talking crap to the fans. In the Washington game, he's on the sidelines instead of being in the huddle. What do we need him for? You know, you know what I keep hearing you say about I don't want to boss a coach that they like. I've been a boss. You can be liked, but you can also carry an iron fist. You know, that iron fist is inside a velvet glove. You know, don't screw with me. I'm a good boss, but don't screw with me. And, you know, I'm like a Belichick. He just don't screw with them. You screw with them, you're gone. But with the Bears, you screw with them, you get another life.
All right, Patrick, thanks, man. We appreciate your venting. We got to get to the news here, but thanks for calling. We appreciate
it. Patrick, pour yourself a nice Crown Rocks, Royal Crown on the rocks and sip it, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. After we get through with the calls, we're going to break down some of Ryan Poles' brilliant moves in the second hour.
All right.
Those fourth downs, I think fourth and two, three, four is a little bit different than fourth and seven, a plus and seven. So thought process is really simple. Get points, stay in the game, trust the defense to get a stop and go back and score again.
Capital B sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. That's interim head coach Thomas Brown. Down in distance apparently played a factor in the going for the field goal on points, but then he went for it in his own territory later in the game.
Yeah, and again, I mean, it's about the score. The score, and again, late third quarter, early Common fourth sense. Quarter, we were huddling instead of going hurry up offense. Yeah. We're down 17. It just, again, Thomas Brown, I'm sure he's a competent, good running back coach. We know he's not a head coach.
Competence, as far as I'm concerned, tells you to go for the touchdown.
You would think.
If you look at the whole 360 of the Bears this season, why in God's name would you settle for a field goal? When you're down within striking distance, so it's the last down, try to put seven on the board.
Yeah.
Okay? What, you're settling for three? And you're, what, 30-some points or whatever it was behind? Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, especially, like I said, going for it again, you know, later in the game with a longer track to get the first down. 312-981-7200.
You wonder why we are, where we are.
I know. 312-981-7200. Let's go out to Shorewood and say hi to John. John, you're up with Hamp and OB. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Really having a good time listening to you guys. Sorry, I got to get my phone right here.
See, that's
good. You're good. All right, John.
I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
Is this Matt Eberflus?
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what's going on?
The clock's running.
The blueprint for this winning team is already up there in that corporation up in Lake Forest. You, Dan, you were part of that blueprint. That's how you put it together. You get a coach out there, you get a line. Both of these trenches, both sides of the trenches need to be rebuilt. You need somebody. You haven't had anybody up there since Coach Ditka who could kick somebody's ass. That place is way too Lake Forest. That's my feeling right now, that place has gone Lake Forest. And you guys both know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you make a great point, and I often thought about that. I said, why would you have this blue-collar football team headquartered in, you know, the most opulent suburb in America, you know, with $18 million mansions next door? It was crazy, but...
So our players could buy him, that's why.
Yeah, now they can.
That's the answer.
We couldn't. We would be living in a trailer.
Oh, my God. Yes. Absolutely.
All right, 312-981-7200. Let's go down to Florida and say hi to Steve. Steve, you're up with Hamp and OB. Go ahead.
Hello, guys. Just wanted to hit a few bullet points, compare the eras of the Chicago Bear ownership, and then wrap up my call with a question. So looking at it from the coaching aspect, guys, I mean, there's so many ways. But, you know, explain to me the logic of why – you would not want a wide receiver to get to run post routes where their fear is, oh, well, we don't want him to get popped by a safety or a linebacker. But it makes better sense for them to run it through the tackle so they could get creamed by offensive linemen. That's really great. And then you have a wide receiver early in the week that is talking about vacation. I mean, 3 weeks into the season, and you want to, you know, admit that you're ready for a vacation? Please. And then the general manager. You know, Poles would be the only one that would want to, you know, trade or cut a fullback and a running back. And it makes sense to him to have a backup offensive lineman and a wide receiver, you know, taking the running back position. And then, you know, the taking the north philosophy. So we're going to build it inside out, and we're going to take the north. But he's run it inside. He's run it outside in, and they're in last place. So clearly a GM that doesn't know what the heck he's talking about. And then you got ownership, guys. And to me, I wish the media would stop covering the Bears as an aggregate. There is no aggregate. There's the George Halas era, and there's the McCaskey era. And all you have to do is look at the years when Halas ran the organization, the winning seasons, the championships, and then the ineptitude that followed. And I know that the McCaskeys had a Super Bowl under their belt, but you know what? George Seifert and Barry Switzer also had Super Bowls, but we know who the architect of those were. And then my question is, as far as the head coaching, are the McCaskeys looking at the anti-Ditka, or are they looking at the anti-Halas? As far as the fiery, you know, personality, because my belief was that, you know, Halas was looking for somebody that kind of reminded me of him, that being Ditka. It's just a theory of mine. But since, you know, you guys know both of those gentlemen, I would like to find out. I'd be curious. And thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Steve.
Well, all of your points are dead on. I mean, we get rid of Bleisingame, and then we're trying to get this offensive lineman to function in some form or fashion as a fullback. I mean, again, it's a certain arrogance by not only the general manager, but the head coach to allow this. You know, the head coach has got to be the stopgap and say, no, I want this and this and this, and you got to fight for it. Evidently, you know, there was no fight. And so that sent us down that path. But back to your point about Ditka. Everything goes in a cycle. We've tried all the brother-in-law coaches. We've tried all the kumbaya, you know, oh, let's all get along and we like what we're doing and that's the way we did. It doesn't work. Accountability has to be the hallmark of the next coach.
Let's get to our. Oh, go ahead.
And that's the mistake. There's no accountability, Dan. And if you don't, we would know about it. There's no account of it. Nobody's held their feet to the fire. I don't care if it's offensively or defensively. Some of the stupidest things I've ever seen on a football field happened this season under this regime.
Think about Tyrique Stevenson. Ditka would have had him cut before the plane took off out of the Capitol.
I agree. There's no
number
question
two,
about it.
DJ Moore walks off the field during a live NFL play. He said he was hurt. Well, guess what? He was back out the next snap. Those are things that you cannot let fester. You've got to stop it.
Yes, you
Nobody
do.
Stopped it.
Yes, you do. You're correct.
All right, time for Dan Hampton's Defensive Player of the Game, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. T.J. Edwards today gets the nod.
Yeah, he was the best of a pretty meager effort by our defense. Again, you know, we go in a hole 20-0. Was that Caleb Williams' fault? Well, maybe, you know, he was part of the fumble early on.
You want to start this
round
again?
Round two. Here we go. All right, we'll get back to the calls here in just a moment. Happen will be is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
I can't let him get away with that. Like he's going to have the last walk out of here before you go to a break.
We got a lot of time left. You're more than willing to fire back. We'll give you plenty of time.
I'll take the time. I'll write the notes down, and then we come back.
Perfect. But our last caller made a great point. The best offensive line in football, we saw it today. How much did that play into the way the game played out? We've got to increase the amount of great players we have on offensive positions, especially the line. Not 20 million for Keenan Allen.
Like we haven't and some, said, like we and haven't Gerald said Everett. That, and I haven't said that for years.
Yeah,
and that's all I've been moaning and groaning about this year, the offensive line. Those guys can't play dead.
And if he doesn't,
let alone suit up.
And if this offense, if this general manager doesn't know it, then he shouldn't have ever been hired in the first place.
Yeah, former offensive lineman, too.
Evaluate everything. I think the way guys respond, how they handle adversity. I think also kind of being in the moment, not having the penalties, how we sustain some drives and put those two things together. So I think everything's always under evaluation. Obviously, want to be able to have a better start and, you know, kind of getting the flow of the game. But again, shoot yourselves in the foot makes it difficult.
Interim head coach Thomas Brown talking about the offense. Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Talk about getting into the flow of the game. Andy,
yeah,
we start punt, fumble, fumble, punt. How did Detroit start, OB? Field goal, touchdown, field goal, touchdown, touchdown. I'd say that's getting into the flow of the game.
Quickly. Quickly.
It's crazy.
You think that has anything to do with coaching?
There you go.
What play do the Bears need to scrap? Sponsored by Elgin Recycling, where you'll get top dollar for all your scrap metal. I've got an idea. How about let the wide receivers be wide receivers and hand the ball off to DeAndre Swift?
Yep. Yep. OB's been talking about that. And again, that's Thomas Brown trying to show off, I'm creative. I'm coming up with a Deebo Samuel package for the running backs here and there. DJ last week. This week, Roma Dunze.
Mm-hmm.
It blows up in his face with a fumble.
Just like that Doug Kramer trick of bringing him in the fullback slot when you're going to score a touchdown, or it's like third down and 1 yard or fourth down and 1 yard to go, and you bring him in. And by the way, how is it possible? This kid's on the injured reserve. How did this kid get hurt? How did he get hurt?
We're going to investigate.
Been in two plays.
Yep.
This entire season. How did he get hurt?
We'll have to send our best guys out there to investigate the situation there. 312-981-7200. That's our number. Let's go out to Mount Prospect and say hi to Frank. Frank, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Yeah, Dan, Frank Mahawk from Mount Prospect. I want to say to you, Dan, and Obradovich, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. You guys are doing a great job.
Right back at
you. My question is, how come that they forgot that they got a tight end that does one hell of a job, and they don't throw the ball to him? This is the first time in four games I think he caught two passes, and one was for a touchdown. Do you have any idea why you just forgot about this guy?
I've got a great idea. And I've mentioned this before. The passing game coordinator is Chris Beattie. He came from the Chargers. Who else came from the Chargers? The day Keenan Allen stepped onto this football field with this team, everything changed. DJ Moore has become malcontent. Cole Kmet has disappeared. Yeah. And why? Because somebody is in somebody's ear saying, I want the ball. Give me the ball. Give me. And that is the kind of thing that will destroy the chemistry of any offense.
Now, what Dan telling you is spot on. And you think in today's game, you think you a player goes to a coach and somehow influences with his ideas of how to do and operate with a passing game and who to throw to? You wonder why we've got problems, folks. You wonder why we can't win a game. You wonder why we can't convert on third down. You wonder why we can't score points. You wonder why we can't throw the ball into the end zone?
Yeah, Keenan Allen today, 9 catches, 141. And there was a previous caller that indicated someone in the receiving corps was talking about vacation. In case you didn't catch that during the week, it was DJ Moore who was asked about what he's thinking about. And the word vacation came out of his mouth with 3 games left to play, now 2 games left to play. So that's that caller was referring to.
I would say that would be more. He wanted to make a sarcastic statement.
I think you're probably right.
That's what he wanted. He wanted to make a sarcastic statement.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like to me.
But that is where a true captain, a guy like Walter or Singletary,
one of the eight,
would go up to him and say, "You shut your mouth. Nobody's thinking about vacation or next week. We're only thinking about this week." Obviously, nobody has done that.
All right, let's go out to Michigan, and we'll say hi to Dan. Dan, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead. Hello, Dan.
Hey, guys.
Oh, there you go. Go ahead.
Good to see and hear you again. I tell you, you just mentioned Singletary, and I heard the commentators during the game mention Rivera's name, and I thought about that with Singletary, and think about the speech he gave when he was in San Francisco. He said he couldn't play with him, he couldn't win with him, he can't coach him, he can't do it. He wouldn't do it. That didn't happen with the Bears. That's what they should have done with some of these prima donna players. As soon as the stuff went on, it should have said, can't do it, you're done, sit him down. But as OB said earlier, that did not happen. We need to get a coach like a Campbell. That guy is something else, and that's why Detroit's going to go to the bowl, and they're probably going to win it.
You've got to have...
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Dan.
Dan, you've got to have a coach, and I've said it a million times, and it just happens to be, as far as I'm concerned, the truth about this game. You've got to have a general manager, and you got to have a coach that will hold these people accountable. You've got to set the tone basically from the top, and it's got to trickle down. And you two people got to make sure it trickles down and that your position coaches understand it and that your offense and defensive players, they both understand what the hell to play for the Chicago Bears and what it means. Obviously, disarray and malcontent is what's flourishing with the Bears right now. Discontent, just absolutely. How these guys are getting away with this stuff, Danny, I have absolutely no idea.
Well, and again, for the first time, maybe all season, we saw a wide receiver run a slant pattern, and it happened to be Keenan Allen on 4th and 5 or whatever it was. Where has that been all year? And I'll tell you where it's been. The receivers telling them, we don't want to run it because they don't want to get knocked out of a game where they can't catch 7 balls and then make the Pro Bowl and make another $20 million. So it's not about the team. It's about what is good for them. You got to have a general manager that stops that kind of idiotic, subversion on a football team.
We didn't try to throw a slant till the fourth quarter, Dan. And then I think we threw one, what was it, one last week? Before that, I don't know how many games we never used that pass pattern. You look at every other team, they fire slants all day long.
All right, Fred Holt, stay there. We're going to get to the news here in just a second. A lot of people are talking about Ryan Poles and some of the acquisitions, and I know we're going to talk a little bit about that coming up in the next half hour here, but the thing that's eluding a lot of people, and the thing that I don't think gets enough attention, we go back to that Tyreek Stevenson situation. Matt Eberflus was kind of looking at that whole thing as a defensive coordinator. He wasn't looking at it as a head coach of a National Football League team, because if he was, he would have done something about suspending the guy or kicking him off at that point. But Ryan Poles, isn't it his job at that point? If your coach isn't going to do it, you're the man that's above him. You got to step in and do something.
That's exactly correct. Exactly correct, Andy.
Yeah.
There's nothing. That's it.
And I think that whole thing just they lost a lot of people. They lost a lot of people.
The Bears were 4-2 at the time, folks, and so much more was possible for this team despite the limitations. But again, the team has to have a level of accountability to where those type of actions have got to be stopped, and there's got to be a price that is paid.
There's consequences for stupidity.
Exactly. And you said earlier you said malcontents, but the whole thing is like the team has rotted from the inside out. And again, this bunch, you can't put the genie back in the bottle.
Danny, these players, they seem like they can do what, like they think whatever they want, and it's okay. Whether it's good, bad, or indifferent? No! There's a set of rules, and you better abide by them.
There are certain principles in defense. Go back and watch the film. Tremaine Edmonds has ran behind blocks all year long. Why? You've got to play over the top of a block. That is rule one. You learn that the first day in training camp. And yet he continues to run behind the block and run himself out of the play and get walled off. And that's why we can't stop anybody. Certain things like that, that has to be stopped. Obviously, nobody's stopping it.
All right, if you're on hold, please stay there. 312-981-7200. We're going to break for the news here.
Hang in there, guys.
And we'll come back with more of your phone calls and more talk about the Bears' 34-17 loss to the Detroit Lions.
You obviously can see the growth. If we're talking about myself, I mean, there's even from last game, you know, some of the routes and some of the things like that. Just believing in the guys, believing in the concepts that are being called. And then, you know, throughout this whole season, the growth that, you know, I would say I've had, and then, you know, the growth that we've had on offense, and being able to fight through all of what's, you know, been going down for us, of coaches being fired in the middle of the season. And I think we got to do better with execution.
Caleb Williams. After the Bears lost 34-17, happen to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Eli did some research for us, and Caleb Williams now has 3,271 yards passing this season. So to become the Bears' first ever 4,000-yard passer, he would need to average now 365 yards per game over the last two. He has not hit 365 yet this year. The closest he got was 363 against the Colts in that loss during week three. So it's kind of a far-fetched thought that against the Seahawks and then against the Packers that he would get to 365 in either of those games.
Okay, does OB and I care about that?
No. Not at all.
It'd be great, yeah, but how about winning a game?
Yeah,
how
that'd
about
be nice.
That, OB?
That'd be nice.
Yeah, that'd be a novelty.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll get back to the phones in just a second. Time now for the epical performance of the game. Epical, revolutionizing beverage hydration with a pickle twist and rapid hydration. We'll give it to Keenan Allen today. You look at the numbers, simply look at the numbers. 9 receptions, 141 yards. 1 touchdown. It was a 45-yard strike. He was targeted 13 times in the game and came up with 9 catches in the ballgame today. 34-17, the Lions beat the Chicago Bears, and it's now 9 straight losses. Back to the phones we go.
Oh, quickly.
Yeah, go ahead.
Until they start using Cole Kmet, our passing game is going to go nowhere.
Yeah, I agree.
We're not going to win games, or let me put it that way. We're not going to win games, not until they get him involved for 4 quarters and game after game.
Yeah,
Cole Kmet.
You watched Sam Laporta, you watched George Kittle this year against the Bears, and see how important the tight end actually is.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go back out to the phones and say hi to Mark in Northbrook. Mark, you're up with Happen OB. Go ahead.
Happen OB, you're the best. I don't watch the games. I look forward to hearing your guys' take on the game. You guys provide us sport fans a tremendous breakdown of the game. And what I see here, and as a first cousin to Sid Luckman, who had pride playing for Papa Bear George Halas, this team lacks pride. They lack importance. There's no priority. There's no checks and balances. And they lost the old monsters of the Midway. And this team is a total wreck. And I'll leave it to you guys. And you guys, I'm proud of you guys. We need to instill that bring back the old black and blue Chicago Bears as they should be playing. Have a happy holidays, guys.
Thank you, Mark.
Mark, I agree with everything you said. Big man?
Well, yeah, during the break, you know, and again, we're on Montez Sweat because as a defense.
He's not in there.
You know, you've got to have certain players that are difference makers. And who do you expect to be a difference? How can you make a difference when you're only playing 60% of the time? And time after time after time today, in crucial situations, he wasn't on the field. And you told a story during the break about Richie Pettibone had such a badly twisted leg
right.
That you had to call timeout because he wouldn't leave the game.
He would not leave the field. And he says, I'll get through this. He's taking timeout.
That's pride. That means you don't want to leave your buddies on the field without you.
That's exactly correct.
And we got guys can't wait to tap their heads and get on the sidelines.
That's why when you go to war – and you can actually kind of you know, kind of put that kind of in an athletic sense in football, especially professional football. That's the guys you want to go with. Richie Pettibone, a Bill George, a Dick Butkus. Those are the people, a Dan Hampton, Singletary. Those are the people you want to go to war with, so to speak.
All right, back to the phones and to the south side. We say hi to Andre. Andre, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead. All right, Andre, we lost you. Sorry about that.
We're good. Oh.
Malfunction, I believe. Let's go to Rolling Meadows and say hi to John. John, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, guys.
Right back at you.
You know what? It's just depressing. Back in the day, Walter Wright, Walter left, Walter Wright, Bobby Douglas running 1,000 yards. They still came on this field and knew they were going to get their clocks rang. And now it's like there's nothing there. It's so depressing. It's like watching a bad movie over and over and over again. These guys coming to Soldier Field and don't even worry about getting labeled. You guys have a great holiday. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for listening, Johnny.
You know, and his point, OB, is look, you know, the who brought it today? There was, you know, it wasn't that long ago we had some guys on defense that would bring it. They'd bring it. Who brought it? Who brought T.J. Edwards? We gave it him defensive player. But did you see him lambast anybody? Did you see somebody go flying backwards? I mean, again, who on our defense does the opposition say on Monday morning, we've got to take care of this guy? Name one.
You know what, Dan?
There ain't none.
Yeah, when you go with – there's 11 guys on defense. And when you're a great football team, whether it's 11 guys on offense, 11 guys on defense, folks, they show up from play to play, quarter to quarter, game to game. That's how teams win. The commitment by the player themselves. The commitment by the player themselves to understand their play. If it's an offensive play, and no matter how many you have, if you have 200 offensive plays, you understand each and every one and what the play calls for. Defensively, the same thing. That's called dedication. All right? That's dedication. And if you're going to be a winning team, those are the avenues that you have to have, offensively and defensively. And everybody's got to understand it. The ship can only go in one direction, okay? You can't let a ship bust up and go in 10 different ways. That's where your strength is, together, and everybody understanding what their job is and what they have to do to produce a win in the National Football League and to be a world champion. Because that's why you play this damn game. I don't play it to come in second place or fifth place. You play it to win. Hope these kids, well, my God, Danny, they've got to start understanding this sooner or later. Not only the kids, the damn coaching staff also. Because if they did understand, we wouldn't be in this position.
I don't want to upset you more, but let me give you the Montez Sweat snap count for the day.
Oh, Jesus.
There were 65 total snaps on defense for the Chicago Bears today, and Montez Sweat was in 41 of the defensive plays here today, so he missed 24 of the Bears' plays of 65.
Can you imagine that? And he just got a paycheck today, folks, for $1,500,000, and 4 days from now, he'll get another one for $1,500,000. How is that possible? That you could he misses what Dan said. Sometimes he misses 50% of a game or 40% of a game. How does he isn't there somebody in the press that could ask the coach? I don't care if it's Brown now or when Eberflus, can anybody ask anybody over there, why is this guy on the sidelines for almost half a game?
Yeah.
And you're paying him this kind of money. Why?
Yep.
Can't somebody ask that question?
Well, as you've said, Hamp, it's hard to be a difference maker when you're standing next to the coach.
Hey, again, and we wonder, you know, week after week, why we're talking about things the same way. And again,
because he's not in there, Dan. He's not hurt.
Okay, so Detroit, will they go and win a Super? We don't know. We don't know. But their defensive injuries have been crippling. But their best player on the whole team, better than St. Brown, all of them, was Aiden Hutchinson,
yes,
who got hurt 6 weeks ago. He never missed a play. And he was like one of the front runners with T.J. Watt for Defensive Player of the Year. Now, again, you have to have your best players play the game. You can't say, oh, well, you got a first down, but our best player is on the sidelines watching. It's sickening.
Danny, you couldn't have said it more perfect. Your best, they have to play. What? What the hell are you getting paid for?
And even the 40 plays we saw today, it wasn't anything special.
Where's your personal pride?
Yeah.
I played with guys. We won a world championship, and they were hurt. They didn't want to even come off the field for one play. We'd take a timeout, do something, but you had to, and they would not leave the field, folks. And we won a world championship with guys like Richie Pettibone, et cetera. Bill George, they were terrific. And I was so proud to play with these guys, as Dan was in 85, recognized as the greatest team to ever play the game.
And what did that do to you when you saw those other guys not leave their – there's no way you're
leaving.
Kicks
you up a notch.
You're not leaving the field no matter what.
No way, so Dan.
It's a rising tide. This team, it's like they're looking for, you know, the Gatorade bottle.
And then everything I remember when Butkus would call a play, or Bill George if somebody was hurt and wouldn't get out of the game – he'd call a defense, and we would say, before we broke the huddle, which nobody was supposed to talk except the signal caller, protect them. Let's protect them. And we did, Danny. We did. We kicked our game up. Everybody played harder to the best they could. Because if that guy doesn't want to go out, he wants to stay in. He wants to be a part of this team. My God, why wouldn't you play harder and give everything you have? I don't understand it. We've got guys that you can't find them. Yeah, I take that back. You can't. They're on the sidelines looking out on the field. I'll be damned if I would ever let that happen, Dan. If I was a member of this team or if I was a coach, an assistant or a head coach, I would never allow that. Never.
All right, we're going to take a final timeout. We'll come back and wrap things up and get you ready for, it's a short week, Thursday Night Football coming to Soldier Field. The Seahawks will be in town on Thursday night.
First Santa comes to town, and then guess what? Geno Smith.
Yeah, exactly right. 34-17, the final here today is the Lions over the Bears. Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
First off, our thoughts were just the message and being open and honest about what it takes moving forward. We'll have a couple of double walkthroughs to get guys as fresh as possible so we can steal the information in, kind of get ready to go, and cut it loose on Thursday.
Thomas Brown there. About the short week, Capital B, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Uh-oh, he means business, OB. He said double walkthroughs this week.
Oh,
yeah. Double walkthroughs.
Double walkthroughs.
Yeah. Boy, he's going to make them pay a price.
They have been indoors the last couple
weeks.
That's
when Minnesota was putting pads on, and we had walkthroughs.
Yep. Minnesota had a full padded practice last, I think, Friday. Three days before the Monday nighter that we got blown up in.
And we had a walkthrough. You know what? You used to go out there in your clothes and your daily clothes and just walk through something. Like, that's how you're going to play the game? Oh, my God. Please.
But it's double walkthroughs.
Look out. Double secret probation coming soon to Hallis Hall near you. Let's talk a little bit more about this one and get fans ready for what's going on. Coming up on Thursday night, 34-17 was the final today. And, again, even a depleted defense and a depleted Detroit Lions team, you look toward their head coach, you look toward both of their coordinators, and that got the job done. I mean, it got the job done against the Bears here today.
And a lot of people, obviously, are talking up Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator for the Lions. They broke a record scoring more points than any other team in franchise history today. They won 13 games, their 13th today, the most in franchise history. There's a lot of good stuff. But let's talk about Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions. And when you compare that to what our so-called defensive coordinators have, you know, produced over the course of this season. Remember, if there was one, I don't want to say elite echelon of coaching prowess on this team, Matt Eberflus did a decent job of making some really, really good matchup calls in certain game situations. And remember, we went 5-4 the last 9 weeks of the season last year, mainly because of the defense. Remember, Justin Fields was struggling on offense, and we won the game up in Minnesota. I think we allowed, what, 3 field goals? Mm-hmm. Something like that. All that being said, he didn't have to go into a game without 14 of the top 22 players on his August depth chart being out of the game. And for them to come out and be efficient enough to put us in a 20-0 hole. And again, week after week, you know, it's 3 weeks in a row we have talked about our offense has been shut out. And so you as a offensive coordinator, you as the head coach, same guy now, well, that's job one. We got to score. We got to find a way to score.
Dan, we struggle to get a first down in the opening of these games, and it started at the beginning, the first game of the year.
But
and all these coaches and all these games and all these quarters, minutes, and possessions, etc., and we can't figure it out?
Well, my point being is there is such a premium. You know, if you're getting ready to play the Bears, they haven't scored a point in the first half. You know, you're thinking, oh, my God, here we – they're going to give us their best shot. Man, this is – we got to be – and it was a laugher. I mean, we didn't threaten anybody for the first 20 minutes of the game, and we were in a hole 20-0. So, you know, at some point, Aaron Glenn – you got to say, yeah, well, guess what? We hate to say it, but, you know, congrats. You've done a damn good job.
What I'd like to see with the Bears offense is have them come out ready for right from the get-go. No matter whether it's defense or offense, whoever wins the coin toss, however it goes, and come out and attack and go after. If there's one word that I would like the Bears to change, and if you had everything being equal, I would one word. What would I say? It would be attack on both sides of the ball. Attack, attack, attack. And then when you're done attacking, attack again.
Bears lose 34-17. Again, a short week here. We'll be back with you on Thursday night, 6 o'clock is our pregame show. Bears against the Seahawks. Thanks to Jack, Eli, and Tony. Also to Krista for all their help here today. We certainly do appreciate that.
The best in the business.
Talk to you again on Thursday night.